This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network. And I am here, not necessarily excited, but I am certainly here to talk about the Denver Nuggets last night as they lose to the Phoenix Suns in overtime. Final score, 117-107. See the chat already going. Thank you so much, Cedric, for hopping in. Dr. Van Nostrand's been in here. Really appreciate it for being a part of the show. It's going to be an interesting one here. I don't have like a ton planned, obviously, for this one. Denver loses in overtime. They drop their seventh game of the post-All-Star break session. They are now 6-1 post-All-Star break. And they've been in a couple of clutch performances earlier, but for the most part, Denver's been taking care of business now. And this is just one of those matchups that I'm not going to bat too much of an eye over. Like, yes, Denver lost. Yes, they could have been better. And we'll talk about reasons why. We'll talk about kind of where things fell apart a little bit for Denver. But this is part of the song and dance for improving for the playoffs. You're not always going to be perfect, and that's fine. I wouldn't expect Denver to be perfect at all. But there are some reasons to kind of take away from this game, and there are some things that I'll be thinking about heading into the future, heading into a playoffs especially. And Denver, I think, learned a little bit about themselves as a result. So really excited to see now. 5555-ish hops in and says, Twitter villain Ryan Blackburn back with his scorching hot takes. Yeah, the takes haven't been as hot. And honestly, like I don't think they've been that hot. I think I've been pretty on point in terms of understanding just how things are going for Denver so far this year. But it is interesting to think about. So we'll talk about it all. We'll talk about all the things that went into last night. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a good show. Let's begin in the second quarter. Denver kind of gets out to their normal lead. Grayson Allen hits a bunch of shots early on in this game, but Denver had an opportunity in that second quarter of really starting to separate from themselves, like separate from the Suns. Devin Booker is not playing. Kevin Durant just played the entire first quarter. Bradley Beal comes in and he's staggering with the second unit, but he wasn't exactly playing great. And Denver has a great, like, early second quarter, I thought. I thought that they did pretty well, and guys like Zeke Nagy and Peyton Watson and Christian Brown playing great defense, Jamal Murray being out there with Michael Porter, that was a good lineup for Denver. Reggie Jackson goes to the bench early in the second quarter, early in the fourth quarter, doesn't play again. He came back in the middle of the second quarter where things really started to fall apart for Denver. But Denver, to their credit, was in a pretty good position in the middle of the second quarter with Jokic coming back in, Murray goes out, and things just kind of fall apart. I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, it was Jokic's fault, it was anybody's fault or anything like that. But what I will say is that Denver wasn't able to provide enough pressure on the rim. They weren't able to do enough of the things that they generally do against Jusuf Nurkic, of all people. Nurkic was great in this last game, like yesterday. And yes, he did foul out. That was a big story heading into the fourth quarter and in overtime that I thought Denver would take advantage of a little bit better than they didn't. And it was unfortunate to see, from the Nuggets' perspective, that they just didn't have enough to go against a team like Phoenix. Phoenix was scoring for the most part. They were relatively unstoppable through the first two quarters. And Denver didn't play that great. They were especially turning the ball over and giving Phoenix these easy opportunities on the other end too. And what was a Nuggets lead at that point turned into a massive deficit. Michael Malone called, I think, three timeouts during the second quarter alone, and the Nuggets lost that quarter 37-18, and were down by 15 heading into the second half. Then in the third quarter, they go down even more. But they've worked their way back after going down by 22 points and ultimately cut the lead down to size at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And Denver has this opportunity. They have a great, 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 great opportunity in that fourth quarter to ultimately take the lead. The defense was on point. Denver allowed 12 points in the fourth quarter. They were down 9. And they had several opportunities to take the lead earlier than they did. They never were able to because the offense wasn't good enough. And Denver missed some open shots. Reggie Jackson, like I said, 1 of 6 from the field. He was not helpful. It's been a while since Reggie Jackson's been helpful for the Nuggets. Peyton Watson, big story in the fourth quarter specifically. 2 of 8 from the field for Peyton Watson. He was 2 of 3 from 3. Or 2 of 3 from 2-point range, but he was 0 of 5 from 3-point range, which kind of soured what was a great game for him. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. It was an impactful player, a great rotational defender, had some good possessions on KD, had some bad possessions on KD as well. But for the most part, it was a great game for P-Watt until the Suns just dared him to hit some threes, and he ultimately missed them. And sometimes that's going to happen. And I said this online yesterday, that Denver, they can't have him go 0 of 5 from 3 in a playoff series. He can go 1 of 5 and they can win. He can go 2 of 5 and they could definitely win. But him going 0 of 5, there was a psychological thing that I think hurt Denver. And they were 15 of 40 on the game, 37.5%. The Suns were 15 of 34, 44% from 3. And just that difference, where the Suns were just getting slightly better shots, they weren't settling for threes as often, there was something to be said for, like, all Denver had to do was just generate a couple of better shots in the fourth quarter, or make the open threes that they were getting in the fourth quarter. Neither of those things happened, and yet Denver still had an opportunity to win. They had a great opportunity at the end of the game. Jamal Murray, actually, so let me think back about this. KCP hits a big three, just a big three with about a minute and a half left in the game, excuse me. And that was a crazy shot because it tied up the game, or at least I think it tied up the game. And then Denver goes up 1, And then Jamal hits a two-pointer with about 45 seconds left to go. A really, really impressive move. I think he took Royce O'Neal to task and just hit a shot over him that was absolutely buttery. And then Kevin Durant comes down to the other end of the floor, hits a clutch three. Just an absolutely clutch three to tie up the game again. Denver's end-of-game play, not necessarily great. But then the Suns foul, and they give an intentional foul to stop the clock with 4 seconds left. And Denver, they have to drop a new play. And they draw one up for Jokic. Jokic gets a floater on the baseline. Doesn't go down. I didn't think that that was the right shot for him. I thought that he could have gotten a better shot, but everybody was pretty happy with the look. Jamal said he thought that everybody thought it was going in. Michael Malone was pretty happy with the shot attempt. And anytime you can get a shot in that situation that's like going towards the basket, or at least going relatively towards the basket, for a guy with Joker's touch, you feel pretty good about it. So I won't be overly critical of it. I thought there were some questions as to whether Jamal Murray should have taken that shot, if I'm being honest. But it was interesting. It was interesting to see Denver went from down 22 in the middle, early middle of third quarter. Yusuf Nurkic got into foul trouble, ultimately fouled out towards the end of the fourth quarter. And then you think, okay, as long as Denver can get the ball into the paint, take advantage of an undersized Drew Eubanks, take advantage of a Suns team that's generally not like super great defensively. They've been better, obviously, this year, but they're not super great. And there should have been an opportunity for Denver in that overtime to really put the game away. But it seemed like they were gassed. It seemed like they ran out of steam. And Denver started the OT period, excuse me, with two turnovers. And the Suns, I am not kidding, scored on every single possession until they took an intentional 24-second shot clock violation. Like, they scored every single possession in the OT. And I thought that Aaron Gordon, despite the fact that he had played great defense through the first four quarters or so, was not good in the OT period, allowed KD freedom to move without being physical, and that allowed KD to get back into a rhythm, hit a couple jumpers, hit some like big shots. And that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Denver, in their first OT game of the season, did not win it. And you would think, despite the fact that Denver is they're a great clutch team for the most part, that they would be able to pull out a game in that situation. But kind of ran out of gas. Seemed like they didn't make great decisions throughout. And that's a problem. Like, it's not that big of a problem, but they are going to have to learn from it. There are some plays that they could really have gone to that they needed to go to. And mostly it comes down to Jokic. It comes down to Joker in general. And that's where I would really sort of focus on this. Joker went 4 of 11 from two-point range. And that just can't happen in a situation like this. 7 turnovers for him. He was very uncomfortable trying to go to the paint against the Suns. And it was a schematic thing for the Suns. They were trying to get Denver to take threes. And Denver kind of got baited into it, in my opinion. So it is what it is. Like, look, Denver's going to learn from it. I'm not concerned, and I'll tell you why I'm not concerned in the second segment. And we'll just kind of go over some of the other details, maybe from the post-game pressers, things like that. I'm seeing some things from Cedric. Yes, Jamal Murray was not super pleased, but like he and I basically had a conversation in the pressers. So like, it's all good. I'm not super concerned about where Jamal's head is at. He was very competitive. We will be right back talking about concerns in the second segment. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250, courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. If you can, please like and subscribe to the channel as we continue to grow the Mile High Sports YouTube. Done a great job on it over the course of this season. Basically, we've doubled the amount of subscribers from the beginning of the NBA season to now. So, really, really excited about where this thing continues to go. We've been putting in a bunch of work and would love to see that continue to happen. So thank you so much for being a part of it. All right. Answer some questions here. Truth teller earlier in the podcast. Ryan, did you notice how Phoenix was bringing a third man in the Murray-Jokic pick and roll to tag Jokic and Murray? Couldn't deliver the skip pass to the corner. Team's going to challenge Murray as a passer. There is some truth to that. What I will say is a lot of the time, the skip pass is to Aaron Gordon. It is not to KCP or MPJ in a lot of those situations. And so what you're really doing and you're really getting into in that situation is like Murray at that point like is kind of choosing between some not great options. Do you want to skip the ball over to Aaron Gordon, who's not necessarily shooting great from three-point range? Do you want Murray to be taking the normal kind of contested two-point jumper or driving to the rim or whatnot? Do you want them to drop the ball off to Jokic, who can then make a different decision? Maybe Denver's in a better position to succeed when Murray kind of gives the ball up in that situation. It's a tough dance. I thought the Phoenix had a great defensive game plan, and that's tough to match. And to be fair, MPJ also went 4 of 12 from 3, so there were plenty of opportunities for MPJ specifically to get those threes. Now, KCP, he was 3 of 3 from 3, so maybe Denver should have been trying to find him a little bit more consistently. But I thought that Murray specifically, 9 assists, 3 turnovers, I'm not sure if it was his playmaking that I'd really be concerned about. Jokic was trying to force feed some things in the middle of the floor that I was not super impressed with. That's one of those things that you got to think about. So much of Denver's offense is about getting the ball into the middle of the paint, getting the ball to the free throw line, to the nail, and then putting pressure on the front of the rim. Denver wasn't really able to do that because of all of the condensing, and I think that it really affected Gordon specifically. Gordon did not have a good game. The help side defense from KD was really, really impressive. Royce O'Neal, I was very, very impressed with as well. He's just a smart, physical veteran and really, really like what he brings to the table for them. And then, frankly, Yusuf Nurkic had a great defensive game, and that bothered a lot of what Denver did. Drew Eubanks also played really well within his role, and it just wouldn't surprise me. I think comparing Drew Eubanks and Jock Landale is very appropriate, if I'm being honest. Denver was able to figure out Jock Landale by the end of the Phoenix Suns series back in 2023, last year for the playoffs. They were able to figure that out. And Denver would figure this out too. There's a lot of schematic things that I think Denver could have done in this situation to create better looks for themselves. And there's a lot that Jokic could have done specifically to create better shot opportunities for himself too. So I think that there's plenty that Denver can go to, and I'm not super concerned about just a one-off opportunity here. But it doesn't mean that they can't be upset about it. It doesn't mean that you can't be mad about it as a fan, because there were plenty of opportunities there were plenty of opportunities for Denver to win. Denver just didn't take advantage of it fully. And Murray was very adamant about that in the postgame. He put a lot of it on him. He said that, and I want to give Murray credit on this, and I said this last night to people in the building. Murray's trying to be a leader in this situation, and not a lot of people see him as a leader in the fan base, within the fan base. Now, people will say, oh, yeah, he's the guy who's very vocal. He's front-facing. He'll do a lot of things. But when you're in a situation like now where it doesn't go well and somebody has to take the bullets for that, somebody has to be the shield in that situation. Jamal was very happy to do it. Not happy, but he was very willing to do it. He put the onus on himself. He put the blame on himself, despite the fact that I thought he had a really good game. 12 of 25 from the field doesn't necessarily fully encapsulate it. In a situation where the entire rest of the starting lineup outside of Porter was double-digit negatives and Gordon was a minus 22, Murray was a net neutral in the plus-minus. And so, a lot of the minutes that he had outside of those other minutes, they were just really, really impressive. And before OT, he was a plus 10 in a game that Denver was tied. Usually you see those plus minuses flip. But I thought that Murray had a great game. I thought overall he had a pretty good game. There were some things that I think he definitely struggled with. One of them being allowing Grayson Allen to get going. That was Murray. That was Murray's fault. Just rotating over, not closing out hard enough, and then Grayson Allen shooting rhythm catch-and-shoot jumpers. And that, I think, allowed Allen to start 8 of 8 because he got two easy ones off of Jamal half-hearted contests at the beginning there. But there's plenty of opportunity for improvement here from Denver on all sides. And I've kind of said this before, and I want to reiterate this. Denver was on a 6-game win streak. And I said this before the LA Lakers game. The team often plays worse and worse the longer the win streak goes. And this was, I think, a very visceral understanding of that. Denver went down 22 in this game. They didn't have to go down 22. They're a better team than Phoenix, and they're certainly a better team when you don't have Devin Booker on the other side. Denver could have absolutely won this game, and they probably should have won this game. And that the fact that they didn't, I think, is frustrating, and it'll be very frustrating to the players. And hopefully that gives them kind of a kick in the seat a little bit. But for Denver, you kind of lose the details when multiple times during the stretch you go down 15 points, you go down double digits, and then you come back anyway. And Denver this time went down 22 points. And that's they're just trying to push it further and further to see, oh man, we can come back. We'll see how far we can go down and still come back. And they didn't ultimately come down. They didn't ultimately come back in this one. And they got gassed in the fourth quarter and overtime as a result. And you lose your legs. And Denver certainly can't do that. They certainly can't do it against the team that we're going to talk about next. So I think that this is one of those ones where Denver's details got pretty bad on both ends of the floor, but especially on the offensive end of the floor. They drove into contact. They drove into pretty bad situations. They allowed Phoenix to kind of get going early. They allowed Grayson Allen to get going. And there were just plenty of things that I think you could look at and pick apart. And I could do that. That's perfectly understandable. But I'm not going to. Like, I've already kind of sounded the alarm bell enough in terms of what my concerns are. That's not what I'm going to do on this one. I don't feel the need to do that on this one. Denver proved over the last six games that they're just as good as you need them to be. And they have another opportunity on Thursday to bounce back and show what their character is made of and just how they can really show up in situations like that. So, like, I'm not super concerned. I don't think anybody else should be really super concerned either. Denver's going to be fine. I think that it was interesting to see Murray in the post game take some bullets for Peyton Watson. And that's I kind of glossed over that earlier. Peyton Watson went 0-5 from 3. He went 0-4 in the fourth quarter, as I mentioned. And Murray was like, he went back and forth with Harrison Wind a little bit. Harrison asked him, "Do you want P-Watt to be taking those shots?" And Murray said, "Of course, they're open shots. We've seen him make those open shots multiple times." Like, it's demeaning to Peyton Watson to even ask the question, is basically how he was going about it. And I like that. I like that response from Murray. He's defensive of his guy, a young guy who needs confidence. That's very much something that I'm sure Peyton Watson was kind of going through in that first stretch. And I'm just not surprised that Denver was in that situation and this happened. And Peyton's going to have to bounce back from that. And Denver, I think, will defend their guy for sure. They know how important Peyton Watson is. Think about how great his defense was for sure. Like, they know that they're going to need him in these situations. And he'll be better. I think that he will be better, but there also could be similar opportunities in the playoffs where we're going to have to kind of go over that when the time comes. And you might get Justin Holiday. Truth Teller asks, "Ryan, do you think Justin should play if CB and PY can't make shots?" Yeah, probably. But I also do want to be clear. CB and PY, they have been tremendous defensively post-All-Star break. They've been amazing. And I think that there is a market for that. I think that there is a, like, you may not play both of them at the same time, but you need at least one of them out there in order to have these defensive runs that Denver's on. Because think about what got Denver back into this game, right? Like, Phoenix scores 12 points in the fourth quarter. They scored 9 up until that KD3. Right at the end, which was a heroic shot, a crazy shot. But they scored 9 points for the first 11 minutes and 30 seconds of the fourth quarter. And I would give a lot of that credit to Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. I'd give a lot of the credit to everybody on the team, obviously, because you need all 5 guys and then everybody that played in the fourth quarter to work in concert for sure. You need all of that. So will Justin play in some of those situations? Sure. Absolutely. But I think you're going to need at least one of those guys, and you're probably going to need both of them throughout the rotation and throughout the playoffs. Sometimes it might be a Christian Brown game. Sometimes it might be a Peyton Watson game. Sometimes it might be a Justin Holiday game. And this is why I was making such a stink about having options, about going to different options and having the willingness to go to different options and maybe add somebody to your rotation for the specific reason. It's not going to happen. The deadline for adding a buyout guy has passed for the playoffs, I believe. And so now you've got your rotation. So you got to make the best of it. And Denver will make the best of it. They'll be fine. But I do trust Christian Brown. I did this podcast with Vinny Benedetto last week. I trust Christian Brown for sure. He's going to figure things out. Peyton Watson is a little bit more shaky just because he's so young. He's not been in this situation before. We just saw Christian Brown be in this situation. And yet, there are still these flashbulb plays that Peyton Watson is making that are super, super impressive. So there's going to be time for all of them. I think there will be. And I am very curious to see kind of how it evolves. It's going to be very fun to watch. And Nuggets fans, I think I've done a pretty bad job of stressing out during this time. And, like, probably making this less fun. This should be fun. It is a stressful time because you have so much pressure on you trying to defend a title. But it should be a fun experience to go through this. And watching guys like Peyton Watson and Christian Brown kind of navigate it while you still have the best starting five in basketball, like, it's still pretty cool, still pretty good. And if we just go by the plus minus, like, here's J.E. Popping in and sharing what, like, the loud stuff. Like, the starters lost the game with the poor effort in the second. That's true. That's absolutely true. That's where the game was lost. And you can't just put that on Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. There's no way. So it'll be interesting to figure it out. What is this? Cedric, what is this? Why are we like, there's nothing I can control about this. Like, I don't know. I don't really even know how to respond to this. So it is what it is. Look, I am not concerned. I think that Denver's in still, like, they're still in a very good position. We're going to have to go through. We're going to have to figure it out. And we're going to see kind of which lineups and configurations that Denver likes and gets to go with. But do you believe that Nikola Jokic is going to miss a buzzer beater going forward? No. Like, if you get an opportunity there, it'll be fine. It'll be okay. I think it's going to be just fine. So we will see. All right, let's take another break. When we come back, we are going to chat about this Denver-Boston matchup and what feels like a collision course for the rest of the NBA in the NBA Finals. We'll be right back. But first,
while no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Save big money at Menards. Get your garden ready with groundbreaking power equipment from Earthquake. Tillers are great for breaking up compact soil and killing weeds in your garden. Get maximum power in a compact frame with a Pioneer rear tine tiller. It features dual direction tines and self-propelled steel wheels. Hurry in for all of your lawn and garden needs and visit Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, we're back. Final segment, Pickaxe and Roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Yeah, I'm not sure why other fans are trolling me, Cedric. I don't care. Like, it is what it is. Like, if people are trolling you, if they're trolling you, it means that you've made it. So I do not, like, have really one thought or the other on it. it's all good. All right. Boston Celtics, Denver Nuggets. Pretty interesting that both of those teams both lost in pretty interesting fashion on TNT this last night. Denver loses to Phoenix in a clutch game when they generally will win every single clutch game that they're a part of, especially against a team like that. And then Boston, I don't know if you guys saw this. Hold on. Let me drink water for this. They gave up 20 fourth quarter points to Dean Wade. Dean Wade of the Cleveland Cavaliers, of all people. Like, I don't know how they managed that. I don't know what they were doing, but it's still very clear that something is a, like Boston can get a little bit bored, and they certainly got a little bit bored in this last game. I wonder if they were looking forward to Denver when they got up by 18 points or however many they got up. And I wonder if Denver, just think about the Celtics a little bit, but they were doing it in the second quarter as opposed to the fourth quarter and whatnot. So interesting to think about. Interesting to see kind of where Denver goes from here. But this matchup's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to do a video with Swipa later today in studio. That'll probably be released tomorrow morning. So be on the lookout for that. I'll probably go more over Denver versus Boston in that matchup as well. But I just want to make this clear. And 5555-ish has a response here. Denver-Boston game is important for both teams, but for different reasons. Denver still fighting for playoff position. Boston narrative and confidence. There is something like psychological to this matchup for sure. Denver goes into Boston back in January. They win a clutch game against Boston where Boston like scored, I think, 2 points in the final 5 minutes of that game because they could not score. They were getting some open shots. They were getting some layups, but they could not score. And I wonder, like, Denver's obviously got a great clutch defense. We've seen that on several occasions here. It's such an interesting way for Denver to kind of evolve there because you would think that a team with Joker, with Jamal, with the setup that Denver has, that Denver would be great in on the offensive side of the floor. And they are. They've got some pretty good offensive numbers. But against a team like the Celtics, when Denver squeezes the life out of your offense, when Denver's defense is playing as great as they are, that might be even more psychological because you know on the other side that Murray and Jokic are going to generate a good shot with the two-man game for the most part. It's going to be interesting to see how Boston responds if they get into a clutch game. Now, it may not get to that. It wouldn't surprise me if Boston comes in, they try to send a message, and they get very, very hyped, and they play great, and they win going away, where the game doesn't even get to clutch time. That wouldn't surprise me. Denver's not, like, off of a six-game win streak, Denver's playing great basketball, and then they lost this last one. Wouldn't surprise me if that kind of continues on Thursday, and I won't be, like, super concerned by it, but it's just kind of how the natural order of things works, that if you have a loss like this, it can kind of linger a little bit. So I wonder how Denver responds to that. And I wonder how Boston comes in. Are they going to be poised? Are they going to be making open shots? Are they going to be defending Joker as well as Phoenix just did with Yusuf Nurkic and Drew Eubanks of all people? The Celtics should have a better handle on things. They've got plenty of guys. They also brought in Xavier Tillman back in the trade deadline. It would not surprise me at all if he gets some run against Joker and the Celtics actually try to see that matchup because they saw a previous matchup, and obviously that didn't work against Joker in Boston. So I'm curious to see how it goes. I'm curious to see which of these matchups kind of come to the forefront. Does Jamal have another big game in him? He had 35, I think, this last time against the Celtics. Is he a better player in that matchup than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown just had a big game against Golden State, I believe. Oh, yeah, that was the 50-point blowout that they had on Saturday. Obviously, they lose tonight. Or last night, excuse me. And so that'll be a little bit different. I don't think that Brown and Tatum had great games. I do know that they didn't have great games. Tatum in the fourth quarter was 1 of 8 for 2 points. I remember seeing that in this last one. So there are still some concerns with Boston. I know that for sure. But there are concerns with Denver too. Denver's got to figure some things out. I wonder how Peyton Watson looks. I wonder how Christian Brown looks in a game like this, where they're going to have to be great in their matchups. Denver last time didn't defend Derek White all that well. They didn't defend Kristaps Porzingis all that well in the first half, but then they figured some stuff out in the second half by using Jokic to guard Drew Holiday, of all people. So these matchups are going to be interesting. How Denver approaches this is going to be fascinating. They'll probably gear up for it. They'll probably do some interesting things on just trying to showcase, not showcase, but like they're going to try to win that one. They're going to try to be, like, I don't know how much they're going to show trying to win it, but they're going to play everybody. I feel pretty confident about that. It's not going to be a situation where they're going to sit anyone. So I think that that's going to be a valuable matchup. And just the way that the first one went, both of these teams want this for different reasons. I'm looking forward to which team kind of punches first and how they respond, how they actually respond to that situation. Like, is Denver going to, like, let's say Denver gets punched in the mouth. Are they going to fight back? Is this going to matter that much to them that they're going to try to bring it back? Or is Boston just going to be so good that it's not going to matter? Who knows? Who knows? But this could be a psychological thing for a finals. It feels like these two teams are on a collision course for sure heading into the NBA Finals. I'm not sure if any team can stop Denver in a 7-game playoff series. And I'm not sure that any team can stop Boston in a 7-game playoff series in the East. It definitely feels like these two teams are kind of destined to meet up with each other. And I'm looking forward to seeing if that actually happens. It felt like it should have happened last year, but Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat happened, and Boston kind of crumbled mentally. We're going to find out. We're going to find out what it looks like. And it should be fun. Like, this is what it's all about. If you're a Nuggets fan and you see the Celtics here, they're clearly the best team in the NBA from a regular season perspective now. And Denver's clearly the team that is best suited in the playoffs to match up with them, in my opinion. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be an interesting one. And we'll have plenty of content here at MHS to try to get you prepared for it. I know I'm going to record some stuff in studio later today, and I'm looking forward to it for sure. Everybody, that is going to do it, I think, for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. Tough loss, obviously, for Denver versus Phoenix, but I'm not super concerned about it, as I've mentioned. Going to be fun. Going to be interesting to see how Denver sort of applies what they're supposed to do and how they can kind of learn from this last one for a matchup against the Boston Celtics. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. See you 5-5-5-5-ish. See you, Dr. Ben Ostrand. See you, Cedric. See you, Gabriel. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. Hit that like button on the way out. Would really appreciate that. I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Heard about the McCrispy yet? Well, then you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Exco, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.